All right, well, I'm glad you're here. We've been talking about the gospel now for quite a while. Started kind of earlier in the year. And the last time we learned that what Jesus did on the cross is what enables us to have eternal life, right? When he died there and rose again, remember we celebrated Resurrection Sunday just a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? Yeah, I hope you celebrated well. He conquered death. He conquered hell. He conquered Satan. He conquered the grave. He conquered our sin. It's pretty awesome. And now God can justly offer us his amazing grace gift of eternal life. So we remember that heaven or eternal life is a free gift. It's not something you can earn or deserve. And it has to be that way because we're all sinners and we can't save ourselves. We've looked at scriptures about all that. We also learned that God is a very merciful God and loving. He doesn't really want to punish us, but he's just and he must punish sin. But we learned last time that God had the solution to our sin problem all along, and that solution is Jesus. And it's critically important that we know who Jesus is. He's not just a great man. He's not just a great prophet. He's not just the greatest teacher that ever lived. Yeah, you could say he's all those things, but he's much more. He's God. He's God, God the Son, come in the flesh. And we got to know why he came. Not to do great teaching, although he did great teaching. Not to heal a lot of people, although he did that. Not to work nature miracles, although he did that. He came primarily to die on the cross so he would pay for our sins that way and offer us eternal life as a free gift. It's just an awesome plan that God put together. But listen, this is important now. Just because heaven is a free gift, and it is, and just because Jesus died to pay for our sins, and he did, does not mean everybody goes to heaven automatically. Because the Bible makes it very clear that's just not true. We must receive the gift. And we receive it by something the Bible calls faith. That's what I want us to talk about today. In the few minutes we have left, I want us to talk about this thing called faith, saving faith. It's one of the most important words in the Bible, faith. But in our day, it's used by so many people in so many different ways that sometimes we get confused. And we kind of get confused about what it really means. We have a hard time understanding. What is this? This thing called faith. Because we have an enemy, the devil, and he wants to confuse us about that. He wants to muddy the water, and he does try to cause a lot of confusion, and he has. So, unfortunately, many people will use the word faith, but they're describing something that's very, very different from the biblical definition of saving faith. For example, some people will say that faith is kind of spiritually accepting something to be true even though there's no evidence for it. It's like a leap in the dark, making ourselves believe something in spite of the evidence. There are people that say that. Now, let me tell you something, guys. That is really nonsense. That's not true at all. That's what secularists will say about Christians. But God's given lots of evidence for us, if we'll just look at it, for his existence, for the trustworthiness of his word, the truth about Jesus. And it's part of what he means when he commands us to be able to give an answer or make a defense to anyone who asks us a reason for the hope that's in us. But there are a lot of people, like I said, especially secularists, materialists, naturalists, atheists, they don't want to accept the truth about God. They want to pretend there's not a God. So they claim that we Christians don't have any evidence for what we believe. They say we're just choosing to believe something. Very irrational, they say. They say we're taking a leap in the dark, and they'll call that faith. And they'll say, well, we're not people of faith. We're people of science. And they'll try to make a distinction there. But listen, guys, this is important. As well-equipped Christians in the culture we're living in today, we must learn how to graciously, lovingly, gently show people how we know what we believe is true. We've got to be able to do that. And I know some of you might say, well, I know in my heart it's true, and that's good. Don't misunderstand me. That's wonderful. It's important that we know in our hearts it's true. But it's one thing to know in our heart that it's true. It's another thing to be able to show somebody else that it's true. You see, there's a difference in knowing and showing. And we need to be able to show others. That's why we have the Veritas class, the course here at the school. But there are other ways to do it. You don't have to take Veritas, but you do need to learn how to do this. Another thing faith is not, it's not what sometimes we call intellectual assent or head knowledge. Some people will say, well, I've got faith. They say, I believe everything the Bible says is true. They believe Jesus is the Son of God. They believe He rose from the dead. They believe He died on the cross for our sins. They assume that means they're Christians because they believe those things are true. But think about it. The devil and the demons know those things are true too. But that doesn't mean they're Christians. In fact, the Bible says you believe there's one God, you do well. Even the demons believe that and tremble. And do you remember when Jesus was casting the demons out of the man we sometimes call the Gadarene demoniac? You know, he said his name was Legion because there were so many demons in him. Remember that? This is what they said. The demons in Legion cried out, "What have you to do with us, O Son of God?" They knew who he was, you see. "Have you come here to torment us before the time?" They weren't confused about who Jesus was. They knew who he was. They believed who he was. The point is, the kind of faith that leads to salvation has to be more than just head knowledge. You see what I'm saying? Of course, we got to have the head knowledge. We got to know these things are true. But just knowing they're true alone is not enough to save us. Here's another one some people get confused about. There are other people that assume they have faith because they talk to God a lot, maybe about what's going on in their lives. Sometimes we call that temporal faith. In other words, they say, well, I know I'm going to heaven when I die because I pray every day. And they talk to God a lot. They talk to God about what's going on in their day. They talk to God about their families. If they're sick, they talk to God about that. They may ask for financial provision. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I pray like that myself. I hope you do too. We all pray like that. It's just that as far as that goes, that's really not by itself the kind of faith that leads to eternal life. It's kind of a temporal faith. We're just trusting God for things in this life. Another thing that people get confused about, some people think they must be Christians because they've gone to church their whole life. But going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going in a garage makes you an automobile. You heard that one before? Yeah, I mean, just because you go to church doesn't necessarily mean you're a Christian. You could go up to MIT on the campus and walk around. That wouldn't make you an engineer. So it's not just going to church. And here's another one that some people get confused about. Faith is not just saying a prayer. Some people assume they're Christians because they can remember a time when they said a prayer. They say, well, I said the prayer. But listen, guys, it's possible to say a prayer without your heart being changed. You can say a bunch of words and maybe repeat words after somebody else, and nothing's happening. Nothing's changing in your life. These are not the kinds of things that God's talking about when He says, by grace are you saved through faith, or believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. By the way, the English words for faith and believe, if you ever get confused about that, they're really the same Greek root word. One's a noun, the other's a verb. In English, we use different words. In Greek, they use the same word. The kind of faith that leads to salvation and leads to eternal life, yes, it does start with knowing that these things are true. We have to know they're true. And then realizing it's true and realizing we have lived very sinful lives. Remember, we've already talked about recognizing our sin. That faith leads to repentance, which means changing. Our hearts get changed. Our minds get changed about sin and about Jesus. And it means committing our lives, giving our lives to Jesus. Biblical faith changes us from the inside out. Instead of our lives being all about ourselves, our lives are all about Jesus at that point. So, true saving faith is this. It's trusting Jesus Christ and Jesus alone. Not just for things in this life, but for eternal life, for salvation. And that's the kind of faith that changes our lives forever. He changes us, makes us into new creatures. We're born again. There's some illustrations that I think will help us with this a little bit. You see that chair? I don't know if you can see it from where you are. There's a chair sitting up here. Can you see it? Y'all see it? Do you believe it's real? Some of you are looking at me funny like, is this a trick? You know, it looks real to me, doesn't it? Looks real. I think it's real. Do you believe that chair would hold you up if you sat down? Yes, it would. I think it would too. Is it holding you up right now? No. Why not? You're not sitting in it, right? I can say, I know that chair's real. I believe it'd hold me up. But it can't hold me up as long as I've got my weight over here on the floor. I'm not trusting the chair. For that chair to hold me up, I've got to transfer my weight from the floor over there to the chair. And now, yeah, it's holding me up just like I knew it would. It's kind of that way with Jesus. I can know that he's real. I can know that he saved me. But until I quit trusting me and transfer my trust to him, he can't save me. I've got to transfer my trust to him. There was a famous Frenchman named Charles Blondin. You ever heard of him? Charles Blondin was an incredible acrobat and a tightrope walker back in the 1800s. Very, very incredibly skilled. And he had a really successful tour of the United States in the 1850s. And his most famous act was he stretched a tightrope across the Niagara River near Niagara Falls, 1,100 feet. And he went back and forth across that thing many, many times. One time he went across carrying a man on his back. Can you imagine being that guy? Carried a man on his back across that river. One time he did it on stilts. Can't imagine it. Another time he pushed a wheelbarrow across and then pushed it back. And the crowd's screaming and they're saying, it's incredible. They're clapping and applauding and yelling him. And he said, thank you, thank you. He said, how many of you think I could do the same thing with this wheelbarrow with a person in it? And they all said, of course you can. We know you can. Sure you can. He said, okay, good. Who'll be first? Nobody was willing to get in the wheelbarrow. They really weren't willing to trust him with their lives, were they? And that's a really good illustration. Because we can say, well, I know Jesus can save me. But we hang on to our own ability to do good works, our own ability to live the way we're supposed to live. And we're not trusting him. We're trusting ourselves. We got to transfer our trust over to him. There's some people that say, okay, well, what's the motive for living a good life? I mean, if it's a free gift, and if Jesus died to pay for it, and if we receive it by faith, then why should I obey him? And for one thing, like I said, when you really trust Jesus, he changes us from the inside out. He makes us into new creatures. He changes our desires. I want to live for him. I want to follow him. I want to do what he put me here to do. I want to bring him glory. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying there's not a war going on. There is. There's a war going on inside you and me all the time. We got weak flesh. We got an enemy called the devil. We got a world out there that's tempting us all the time. So, yes, there's a war going on, but deep inside, we want to win that war. We want to glorify Jesus. Even when we're weak, even when we give in, we ultimately want to win that war. That's why I keep saying, stay in the battle, guys. Stay in the battle. It is a war. But we find ourselves really wanting to please Jesus. Why? Because of what he's done for us. There was a man one time who was the president of Princeton University. And years later, after he had retired, he said, when I was a young man, I gave my life to Christ. He said, when I did that, I received eternal life immediately. But he said, all my life since then has been like a P.S. to a letter in which I've tried to say thank you to him for what he did for me on that day. See, that's the way it works. He changes us, and we want to say thank you. Somebody said one time that receiving eternal life is kind of like a beggar receiving a gift from a king. Beggar doesn't have anything. I mean, he doesn't deserve that gift. He can't earn that gift. The king's got it all. But it's just a grace gift to the king that the beggar gets to receive the gift. And that's the way it was when we receive eternal life. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. We're the beggar. He's the king. But he gives it to us as a gift. And it changes our lives. I hope this makes sense to you guys. I hope I'm communicating. And I hope that you've already transferred your trust to Jesus. But if you haven't, or if you're not sure, or if you have some questions that you'd like to get answered, there are many of us here, not just me, there are many of us here who would be delighted to help you think through these things. We'd be delighted to. But listen, it really is the most important decision you will ever make. There's nothing that compares to it. Eternity's a long time. And this life is really very short. God says it's like a vapor that appears for a moment and vanishes away. We're going to be in eternity before long. This is the only thing that matters, getting this right. I want to say one more thing about this. Just remember this. Salvation is not complicated, guys. It isn't. Jesus said, you can't even come into the kingdom of God unless you're like a little kid. It's not complex. It's not complicated. It just has to be real. And so we have to clarify these things because, again, we have an enemy. I said it earlier. He's muddied the water. He confuses people. And so he confuses people with legalism, thinking they've got to be so good. Or he confuses people about their sin, whether it's that serious or not. Or he confuses people about the nature of God or the nature of Jesus. He's working all the time to try to confuse. He confuses people about the nature of faith. And that's why we have to talk about these things, to make sure we're not confused, make sure we're not deceived. But don't try to make it complicated. It's very simple. It just has to be real. And we just have to stay in the battle. Father, thank you so much for all your blessings. You are so good. And thank you for teaching us truth in your word. Help us to be good students of your word. Help us to take your word seriously, to love your word. Help us to learn how to study. Help us to remember to talk about it with each other. Help us to remember to share it when we have opportunities. And Lord, thank you so much for your plan of salvation. Thank you that our Lord Jesus Christ became one of us for one purpose, to die on the cross to pay for our sins. Thank you, Father, that you can be a just God and still forgive us of all of our sin because Jesus was willing to pay that debt. That is so awesome, Lord. You are so awesome. Lord, we admit that Satan is a very vicious and crafty enemy, but Lord, we know you're greater than he is, and we know that you overcome him with the blood of the Lamb, with the word of our testimony, and loving not our lives even to the death. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy all of Satan's work. And we thank you, Lord, that you've made it very clear that Satan's on a leash, even though he's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But Lord, he wants to confuse us and others about your truth. So would you please help us not to be confused, not to be deceived. Help us to be able to understand your truth like little kids and just trust you like little kids. Trusting our Lord Jesus Christ. We know we're not good enough to go to heaven. We know apart from you, we're as good as destroyed. But by your grace, we have eternal life. Thank you for that grace gift that you give because of Jesus. Father, before we go, one more time, I want to pray for our nation. I thank you for Bella's prayer earlier. Lord, we've forgotten how to love each other in our country now. It seems like there's so much hatred, there's so much animosity, there's so much racism, there's so much ugliness out there. Lord, would you teach us again how to love? Would you teach us as a nation that there's a better way? Would you help us as a nation to get our focus onto you again? When so many of us have rejected you, we've rejected your truth, we've rejected your word. Lord, we know that leads to bad outcomes. But we pray, Lord, that by your mercy, by your grace, there might be revival and spiritual awakening in our country. And we pray that you would use us as salt and light where we are to represent you well in a dark world. We thank you, Lord, that one of these days you're going to fix everything. We thank you that our Lord Jesus is coming back. We thank you that we're going to be with you in eternity, all of us who've trusted Jesus. And we're looking forward to that. So thank you so much for that assurance. Help us now as we finish this year to finish strong. Help us to stay disciplined. Help us to remember who we are. Help us to bring you glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
Thank you, Mr. Paul.
Thank you. Praise him. I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.